home. And it's kind of funny, since we're transitioning out as pastors, that home isn't looking so much like home, it's looking like a place to be. And home seems to be somewhere else. And so God pulls your heart where it needs to go. And amen. But it'll always be good to be back in Bullhead City. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we were talking some this last week and different things, and we thought about everybody's church, and we thought every church is an imperfect church because we're here. We made the church imperfect. But we serve a perfect God that's working on us, causing us to move towards perfection every day. Amen. So I want to minister a little while tonight, while I got a little time left here, is don't be a fool. Remember the old A-Team show with Mr. T? Pity the fool. Pity the fool. And but anyway, we won't get into those shows. We won't blow nothing up tonight. Amen. But the Bible says a youngster's heart, now this is out of the New Living Translation, a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. Did you ever, now I thought about having a few testimonies about something that you did when you were younger that was real foolish, but I thought we'd be here for weeks. And so, and that's just probably on just a couple of you, but I just thought, well, we'll leave that out, and we'll leave out. But I remember when I was thinking about a child has foolishness inside of them, and it's our job to discipline that out. And my granny, she liked the King James Version, where it says the rod of discipline will drive that out. Amen. And so every once in a while, she'd just line us grandkids up and straighten up the house. Amen. There was no foolishness going on. Amen. I don't even know what we did, but we were. So there was a couple times I realized what I did, but anyway, you know. I started looking at 1 Corinthians 13:11, and it says, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. Amen. Amen. Some of us are having a hard time with that, aren't we? We just, we just have a hard time putting away childish things. But with God's help, we're getting to be seasoned. Amen. So I thought, what could I do to illustrate foolishness or being a fool? And so I looked on and got a little illustration, and I'll just read it to you. It says, a college student was in a philosophy class where a class discussion about whether or not God exists was in progress. The professor had the following logic. Has anyone in this class heard God? Nobody spoke. Has any in this class touched God? Again, no one spoke. Has anyone in this class seen God? When no one spoke again the third time, he simply said, then there is no God. A student didn't like the sound of this, and he asked permission to speak, so the professor granted it. And the student stood up and asked the following questions of his classmates. Has anyone in this class heard our professor's brain? Silence. Has anyone in this class touched our professor's brain? Silence. Has anyone in this class seen our professor's brain? And when no one dared to speak, the student concluded, then according to our professor's logic, it must be true our professor has no brain. Okay. So, What makes a fool? Is it his IQ? Maybe kind of feel if he got low grades, you might be fooled. Is it because maybe he's his thinking or speech are slow? Is it because maybe he can't relate to how people work, or maybe has poor self-esteem or poor image of himself? Well, let's look and see what the Word calls a fool. I think that'll be the best definition, don't you? Psalms 14:1 says, "A fool has said in his heart, there is no God." That's a fool. Amen. Now, when we're out and about in the world and we hear people talk and say, "There's no God," I don't run up to them and say, "You fool." But I do think it. All right. So a fool says in his heart, there is no God. And it goes on to say, they are corrupt and they have done abominable works. There is none who does good. A fool says in their heart, there is no God. Let me give you another illustration of a fool. A woman's husband had been slipping in and out of a coma for several months. Yet she stayed by his bedside every single day. One day when he came to, he motioned for her to come near. And she sat by him, and he whispered, eyes full of tears, "You know what? You've been with me through all the bad times. When I got fired, you were there to support me. When my business failed, you were there. When I got shot, you were by my side. When we lost the house, you stayed right here. When my health started failing, you stood by my side. You know what?" She said, "What, dear?" As she gently smiling and her heart was being filled with warm thoughts, "I think you're bad luck." "Get away from me." Now that's a fool. Amen. But let's look at one in the Bible. How about that? Let's go to 1 Samuel 25. A fool says that there is no God. Hallelujah. I'm glad we got some unfoolish people here that know that there is a God and that he loves us and he continually works on us to develop us, to get us into better heights, new anointings, fresh anointings. Glory to God. Amen. 1 Samuel 25. And we're going to read verses 2 and 3. "Now there was a man," and I don't know if I'm going to say Mom's the word. "There was a man in Mom whose business was in camel, and he was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his camel." He wasn't shearing his camel. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, my wife would say, that changes the whole thing. And I agree. Okay. 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Almost sounds like a resort city, doesn't it? You know. The name of this man was Nabal. And the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and beauty, appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. Now the story is about a man and his wife, about being a fool and not being a fool. And it's about knowing what to do, when to do it. And so if you look up Nabal, when you finally figure it all out, basically his name means fool. And one of the things said stupid, wicked. The Bible was, he was called churish, which means selfish and mean. In other words, he wasn't a nice person to be around. You ever run in a few of those once in a while? They're just not nice. The fool was rich, and had a lot of possessions. Now let me just tell you this. Just because you know a fool doesn't mean you have to be one. Amen. We're going to run across a lot of fools in our lives, but we don't have to be one. Amen. Proverbs 12, 15 and 16 says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame." Amen. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. How many of we know a few people like that? Amen. Yeah. Now, along in this story, here comes David in the story, and he's running from Saul, King Saul at the time, and he's kind of hiding out. And Nabal's men had come, and you know what? David's men kind of watched over his men, and they were able to feed their sheep, and no one would harm them because David's men were there. And so he protected them, basically, free of charge, just because you're going to do the right thing. And so David and his men, and roughly it says about 600 men, they were starting to get hungry. Now, I don't know about you, but in past times, if I get hungry, I've been known to get grouchy. And so, men need their food. So let's drop down here to verse, in 1 Samuel 25, let's go to verse 10. And David sent out some men to go ask Nabal for some food, for help, and for provisions. Then Nabal answered, and he sent 10 guys. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away from their master. Shall then I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed and for my shears and give it to men I do not know where they came from?" Well, he's lying. Everybody knew who slew Goliath. It was in the Jerusalem Herald. It was word of mouth. Everybody knew. I mean, I don't care what time, when was, what had happened. People found out about things. And you can't tell me, because he was a Jewish man, that he did not know who David was. So he was back to his being angry, mean person and not wanting. So there's just 10 men. So he can do that. Now, obviously, he had a lot of workers. He had a lot of men. He probably has some people there defending his crops, his his animals and stuff. But anyway, let's go on here. And I'm going to read you Psalms. And you can just kind of keep your finger there in Samuel. We'll go back. Psalm 74, 18 says, "Remember this, that the enemy has reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name." You got to be careful what you say and why you say it. Now, Nabal was from the house of Caleb, so he was an Israelite, so he knew exactly who David was. He's just going on. Proverbs 14, 16 says, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident." A fool rags and is self-confident. Nabal, with David's 10 men, was very self-confident. And he did not... In other words, he copped an attitude, "I ain't getting you nothing. You go on back," and that's it. Proverbs 26:4 says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Amen. Now David's men acted like gentlemen and went back and told David. When you're around someone that's in rage, it's just best to kind of excuse yourself, if you can. Just walk away. Let them calm down, whatever they need to do. But I'm not going to start playing your game. I'm not going to join you in this rage. I'm not going to join you in your little baby fit. Amen. You figure out a way that you can get out of the situation. And so it says here in 1 Samuel 25, 12, and 13, excuse me, David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. All right. You just woke up somebody here. Then David said to his men, every man gird your on his sword. So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and about 400 men with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now let me just say this. Nabal probably had some security guards, security people. He probably had several hundred, couple hundred at least, with having that many sheep and stuff. But let me tell you what. There's a difference when you go fight somebody that's anointed. And when you're not anointed and you're coming up against the anointing is going to overrun you. Amen. So you have to remember, hey, I'm an anointed person. I'm going to win this battle, devil. I'm coming out on top on this thing, devil. Amen. So David girded his swords, had his guys. He's going after and he's going to go get him some food. You don't want to mess with the anointing of God's men, and especially when they're hungry. Okay. Psalm 53:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Boy, I think Nabal's in for some consequences. A fool don't think there is any consequences to actions. But I don't know about you. When I act a fool, there's usually consequences. Amen. Okay, let's go down to verse 14. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet your master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we were accompanying them. And we were in their fields. We were in the fields. They were all well with us both day and night. All the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all of his household, for he is just a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him. Just because you know a fool doesn't mean you have to be a fool. I want you to get that through us tonight, Lord. Just because we know somebody that's foolish doesn't mean I have to be foolish. Now let me even say it like this. And I don't know anybody here, and I'm not looking at anybody. Just because you're married to a fool doesn't mean you have to be one. Amen. All right. Verse 18, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, five sheep already dressed, five sheaves of roasted grain, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of fig, and loaded them on a donkey. That donkey was loaded. I don't think it could pass the weight scales on the interstate. And she said to her servant, "Go on before me. See, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Now Abigail heard what was going on. The servant told her. Abigail rode out trying to head off disaster. For his sake, he ought to be glad he had a wife that didn't act like a fool.
Amen.
Amen. That she had some sense about her. And so anyway, it goes on here to verse 23. "Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. She shall fall at his feet, and she fell at his feet and said, 'Oh, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be, and please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant.'" A wise person knows how to be humble. She is a great wife. She's saying, "You know what? It's my fault." A lot of us would be going, She hadn't done anything wrong, but she was taking responsibility for it. Amen. She gave the food to David, and you know what happened? His temper started going down because they were really hungry. So then it says, "And David said to Abigail, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you to me, sent you this day to me. And blessed be your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you have hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal.'" So David received her from her hand and what she had brought from him, and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heard your voice and respected your person." Abigail knew David's position as going to be king. Abigail knew that there was an anointing on David's life. She might have not known the extent of it, but she knew if this does not get diverted, there is disaster coming to my house. So encouragement came to David that way, not only good food, but also good advice. Just because you know a fool, you don't have to act like one. Amen. We are surrounded in a daily basis by what we might say is foolish people that do foolish things. What are some of the foolish things that adults do after we think we got it together? Well, sometimes you go get yourself way in over debt. Very foolish. Something that you can't handle. Something that you're not geared up for. Sometimes we get in relationships that we know aren't right. Don't feel right. Isn't right. Everything about me says it's not right. But my flesh says, "Hello." That's some of the foolish things. That's just a couple of the foolish things that we as adults sometimes get into. Another big foolish things I think that we get into, I don't think sometimes us as adults understand how to control our mouth. I just speak what's on my mind, Pastor. Well, we won't go that route. Okay. I can't help it if I get mad. I was born with this temper. I was born with a temper, but God healed it.
Amen.
Amen. My granny says she saved me from going to penitentiary. It took quite a few rods of discipline to do that. But she might be right. But I'm so glad because I'm not really a prison person, you know what I mean? I don't see myself functioning well in the prison. It just doesn't. I want to go solitary confinement, please. They don't talk nice. Another thing I think we get real foolish about is I think even as adults we give in to peer pressure. Well, so-and-so's doing it, so-and-so's got this, so-and-so, and we just get right into that peer pressure when we didn't even ask the Lord. Am I supposed to do this? So a lot of times as adults, we do foolish things. But glory to God, we serve a good God. And when we realize that we are such a fool, we just ask, Lord, forgive me for being a foolish person. And he straightens us right back up. Amen. We have to realize that we don't have to act like a fool, but we can be wise. There is so much things about wisdom in Proverbs.
Amen.
If you just pulled out about 10 scriptures of those and went over that, you'd be a lot wiser.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's go on to verse 36. Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was holding a feast in his house, like a feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was very merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him the things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. Then it happened after 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. The fool couldn't take the news. And you know what? Not that God don't cause sickness or anything to come on us, but sometimes you open yourself up to outside forces that can rule, can take over, and cause things to happen. And so, he died. And you know what happened to Abigail? She married David. Amen. Became one of his wives. Just because you know a fool doesn't mean you have to be one. So we got to be wise, because the world today has a lot of things going on in it that we can get so caught up in, and we don't sound any wiser than other people. When we want to just sit and argue about things, it's not wise. A good discussion about the Lord, about the things of God, is a good discussion. When you blow up in front of people, and then they say, I thought you were a Christian. You just kind of messed up your testimony there for a little bit. We all messed up. We've all fallen short. But at some time in your walk, you got to put away childish things and act like a mature Christian and come to the plate to hit a ball. Amen? When I was a child, I spoke as a child. But now I'm born again. I'm saved. I got the Holy Ghost wisdom living on the inside of me. Amen. When I talk, you should hear God talk. You should be able to say, God might have said that. God could have said that. Amen. But if you just sound like the world, let me tell you what, you're sounding like a fool. And just because if you know one, doesn't mean you have to be one. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good, isn't he? Amen. Abigail was a smart lady. She saved her whole household. Amen. And God will gear us up to do some things that will save our household. God will gear you up to be able to go out and speak his word to somebody that needs to hear it. Amen. A lot of times when I go to Walmart store shopping with my wife, that's drudgery, but anyway, that's shopping. I'm teasing. We like going shopping. But when you go to those places, are you just going to go? I know that's our plan, just to go do some things, but really, you're on the mission field. You're there to be a light to the lost. So are you smiling and greeting people? We got to this, we took 2 days off. I know, it's hard to believe we took a day off. We took 2 days off. So my wife, she tells me, we got to go to Key West. It is so beautiful. Her and Patty went there a few years ago. It says, you just got to, it's just a long drive along the ocean. It's just gorgeous and beautiful. And so we got, our flight got in about 4, and so I said, we probably won't get out of the airport till like 5. She said, it's only like an hour away. She said, it's not very far at all. So we found real soon, it's like 4 hours away. I made a note to self, check my wife's timing on things. And so we were driving down there, and by this time we booked in this what do they call it, a bed and breakfast type place, and they said, we won't be up when you get here. We'll tell you where you can find your key and that. So we did. We found the key. We forgot that she said to open up the mailbox and get the direction to your room. We just thought it was like one house, but it's like houses all over around. So we finally went back to the mailbox and got our directions. And we still weren't really fine in our room. And it's hard to believe, I was actually getting frustrated. I didn't think I was really showing it. But my wife detected it some way or another. And so we finally met another couple there, and they helped us find our room, which was very hard, by the way. It wasn't easy how they did it. And so we found our room. But I'm just saying, you know, to be an example to that couple that we ran into, I really wasn't in that. I should have went and prayed for a while and then came out and met them. But we do have those things happen. So we were fortunate enough to meet them the next morning, and they were there having breakfast, so we went and had breakfast with them, and I was very pleasant. They thought it was a whole new hotel person coming out. I don't know. But things like that does happen. But we have to realize, hey, this is not who I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be who God made me, full of patience. He's given me the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand up. Let's get ready to go. You don't hear all my traveling stories. It is an all-day trip. She forgot all that. But we had a great time. We walked around the